Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve will be in the Sunbury Motors studio in just a moment. Sunbury Motors Ford. You are?
I'm already there.
Well, hello.
Well, welcome back.
It is great to be back.
I hope Deb is doing well.
She is doing well, resting comfortably at home. Everything worked out. Everything went smoothly yesterday, so lots of rest and relaxation for her, and waited on her hand and foot yesterday.
So, that'd be a real change for her.
I know. I was ready to come back to work this morning. I was putting in some steps. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I could use some extra steps.
I've been thinking about her a lot, as you know. I texted you Sunday morning.
You did. You got in contact with me quite a bit over the weekend, and that means more to me than you'll ever know, and greatly appreciate it. So, yeah, she's doing great.
And Deb's like, "Will you tell him to knock it off?" No.
But now I heard from you and Coach Joe Susan, Roger, and everybody here at the station. So it was great to hear from them.
With one notable exception.
No, Suit did as well. It's kind of ironic, though, because when I was telling her about what was going on, he honored the one-year anniversary of his heart procedure. So he goes, "I know exactly what she's going through." No, it's not her heart. It's something else.
Only he.
I know.
Can take someone's situation and turn it into him. Under the category of "it's all about me."
Yes. But yeah, she's doing great, and we got a Steelers game to catch this weekend, and she's doing whatever it takes to
be.
Absolutely, she'll be going. Yep, her.
She is a trooper.
She is. Yep.
Wow.
So, although the timing was for her to start her rest and relaxation, the annual Christmas Club check plunked into the account yesterday, and she was already doing some digital shopping on the phone yesterday, so I was starting to get a little concerned. This just barely 3 hours after getting home from the hospital.
Well, you can give me exactly the same thing you gave me last year.
Okay.
Which I believe was nothing. So we can just keep it that way.
All right.
Now you can really funnel it where you need. Today, Teddy Greenstein, Chicago Tribune, at Brad Nessler, CBS Sports. That's not bad. I can live with that. Can you live with that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a fun show today.
Yeah, I got it. Pretty good for the rest of the week, too.
Dana O'Neill, not bad. Donnie Collins, not bad. We're working on getting Dave Ennett to the play-by-play voice of Northwestern on. Why not? We'll do that and get Dave on. Dave's a real pro's pro. Really good at it. Play-by-play guy. It's one thing about having Sirius XM now. We all get to hear each other. You know, instead of doing the general introduction, "Hey, he's a great play-by-play," and you never really have heard him. Well, now with Sirius XM, you get to hear everybody. So Dave is really good. Football, basketball. I was thrilled for him last basketball season because they got to the NCAA tournament for the first time ever. You know, he'd never done a tournament game before. And I was thrilled for him. I sent him a text before the first tournament game, just let him know how happy I was for him.
I'm always impressed with the number of your colleagues that not only do football, but basketball as well. Paul mm-hmm. Keels, for instance, and Gary Dolphin, of course, in the conference. So
Keels, mm-hmm. Paul Keels of Ohio State.
Bill Hillgrove, Gary Dolphin, for decades.
Right, Gary Dolphin of Iowa, Matt LaPay of Wisconsin. Let's see. Dave Ennett of Northwestern, Brian Barnhart of Illinois. Let's see. Johnny Holiday, obviously, of Maryland. You want to talk about one of the all-time great guys.
Oh, I know. He's right up there on the list. I mean, it was great when you get a chance to talk to him.
All-time great guys. Let's see. Don Fisher of Indiana. And let's see. It's Mike Grimm of Minnesota. And, of course, obviously I get into that category. So it's nine of us that do both football and basketball in the conference. Nebraska splits. Purdue splits. Michigan State splits. Michigan splits. And I think who else? It's got to be one more. Rutgers splits. So nine schools have one guy doing both. And five schools split the job. Now, part of it, for example, I'll give you an example. Michigan State. George Blaha does Michigan State football, has forever and ever and ever. But he's the voice of the Detroit Pistons, so he doesn't do basketball to Will Tiemann. But really good guys. All of them. Now, I don't know how many of them are going to go to Madison Square Garden for Big Ten Media Day. Normally, Big Ten Media Day is in Chicago. Once in a while, Indianapolis, but usually in Chicago. Well, it's easy for all of them to get to. Matt can drive, Dave can drive, Brian can drive, Gary drives. Paul drives. I don't know if Paul drives or not. He may fly in. Will drives over from East Lansing. It's not that far, really. It's a four-hour drive for him. Madison Square Garden's a little different animal in terms of getting there. That's going to be in a couple weeks. I might go. We'll see. It was actually brought up at basketball practice last night when I was there.
Yeah, makes sense that they'll have it there since that's where the basketball tournaments will be in end of February, early March. I know that's been on Commissioner Delaney's radar for quite some time.
Well, the Big Ten has an office now in New York. I mean, this is part of their outreach in getting the tournament there. Now, they've had to change the schedule to do it. In fact, there's going to be an opening weekend. But I think that opening weekend is going to figure in, and that's the weekend of December 2, 3, 4. I'm trying to think. December 1, 2, 3, 4. Friday, Sunday, Saturday, Monday. And Penn State's on the Saturday, Monday. You're going to see down the road, I think, the Big Ten go to 20 conference games. And I think you're also going to see that weekend in December stick. That you're going to use that weekend as an opening, let's get interested in basketball weekend. In conjunction with the Big Ten football championship game. Which is that weekend as well. So I think you'll see that. It'll do a couple things. Number one, by playing two extra conference games, it does increase the number of name brand games on your schedule. It also takes away scheduling two non-conference games, which have become very competitive scheduling, by the way. You're saying, why is it competitive scheduling? Well, I'll give you an example. Let's just pick a team, Albany. Albany was a school that got to the point where, hey, we'd like to do a game. Okay. What are you offering for money? We'll just pick round figures here. $50,000. Well, you know, Michigan wants to play, so we want to give us $75,000. Ooh, now you can do a little bidding war. Well, you're trying to eliminate that now. You have the ACC Challenge, which is 21. You still have the Gavitt Games. Now, Penn State hasn't been in the Gavitt Games for a couple of years now. That would get you to 22. Then you have these non-exempt tournaments. For example, Penn State's in the Barclays tournament this year. That brings with it two games at the Barclays Center, but also two home games. Oral Roberts of Montana, you'll see her on Penn State's schedule. That's actually part of the Barclays tournament. So that's four. Now we're up to 26 games. That now leaves you five non-conference games to actually schedule on your own. Because you would have the two extra conference games at 20. It would also increase the number of home and aways. Right now in a 14-team league with 13 opponents, obviously, you have five home and aways and 8-1 plays. By getting to 20, you'll actually have seven home and aways and 6-1 plays. So now at least the home and aways outweighs and outbalances the one plays, which I prefer anyway. So you'll see that as a change down the road. Now, football-wise, we're already seeing the change of adding in one more conference game. You're playing nine. Last year was the first year of the new nine-game schedule. This is the second year of it. This is also the year, being an odd year, that Penn State is going to play five of its conference games on the road. Their second road game is coming up when they play at Northwestern. So that's the difference that you see in the conference by adding more conference games, making it more competitive. Now, what's the negative to more conference games? All right, the negative is something we brought up the week of the Pitt game. You lose your flexibility in non-conference scheduling. So in other words, if you want to play Pitt every year and you need seven home games, it really takes away your flexibility because you don't only have one, essentially one home and away slot, as opposed to the SEC and the ACC, which play eight conference games, and they have that one additional spot that they could put a home and away in if they wanted to. So there are pros and cons to it. I know why, you know, I know why the Big Ten did this in football. It really helps out. For example, Penn State's going to play at Northwestern. Well, it helps out the Purdues, the Indianas, the Northwesterns, and so forth, because it puts a game in there against a conference opponent that's going to be an exponentially better draw, and it's part of the conference financial formula, so you're not sitting there paying out money to say, I don't know, let's pick North Texas. We're going to bring in North Texas to play the game. Well, the game is not going to draw, and you're going to have to pay out a fee to get North Texas there, between $900,000 and maybe $1.1 million to get them there. Can you recoup the money with a small attendance at Ryan Field? And this changes that dynamic. And adding the ninth conference game was not for the Penn States, the Ohio States, and the Michigans or the Wisconsins or the Nebraskas. We're going to draw no matter what. This was actually to help the schools that don't draw as well and would struggle paying guarantees and getting back any kind of realistic profit while still paying out a guarantee. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. During the break, we were having a really good discussion about the one-game playoff. And Roger doesn't like the one-game playoff. And initially, when the one-game playoff came out, I didn't like it either. I even talked openly on the show about, you know, this should be at best two out of three just to get going and so forth. But the one thing I'll say about the one-game playoff is that over time, watching the pure crowd intensity, I mean, I don't care where it's been, Cleveland, Kansas City, Texas the 1 year, Pittsburgh, the intensity in the seats in the one-game playoff is really amazing because it's like having a game seven. Now, here's the, and Roger makes a really good point. For Major League Baseball, here's the inherent danger tonight. In the span of 3 hours, you can lose Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez from your playoff picture. And suddenly the 85-win Twins are moving on. That is an issue. And that is the risk here. And then, you know, and you have an ace going tonight. I mean, the Yankees have an ace going tonight. Tomorrow night, the Diamondbacks have Zach Greinke going. He's unquestionably their ace. So I like the intensity, but I also don't like the fact there's no, quote, fudge factor here. So we'll see tonight how it plays out. I mean, for Major League Baseball, they secretly have to be rooting for Judge and Sanchez. Let's ask Rob Manfred. Oh, may the best team win. Okay, Rob. For your ratings, I'm sure you're hoping for New York. Love the Minneapolis-St. Paul market, but let's do a contest next half hour. Name a twin besides Tyler Gilligan and Blake Gilligan.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Very pleased to bring in one of the best in the business, and that is Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune. Teddy, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be with you, man.
All right. Well, I want to get to Northwestern first of all. They're two up and two down. What does the running game mean to them when you watch them?
Well, I mean, the running game was supposed to be a lot better, and that's why they've got two down this year, part of the reason. You know, Justin Jackson, as you know, led the Big Ten in rushing last year. I mean, he's outstanding, and he's vying for his fourth straight 1,000-yard season, and if he has a good season this year, he'll be second all-time in the Big Ten in rush yards after Ron Dayne, but it just hadn't happened in two of the four games. You know, Duke was almost nothing and very little at Wisconsin. Part of it is that Justin has not been totally healthy, but a bigger part is that the O-line has just been extremely disappointing, really both run blocking and pass blocking.
Fitz along the way was able to compare Trace McSorley to Dan Persa, who, by the way, is a Pennsylvania guy, and Persa had really good career at Northwestern. What are your thoughts on him, and then what are your thoughts on Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, God, I know Dan Persa very well, still do. He was amazing. You know, the thing that was great about it, you know, two things that stood out about Dan Persa. If it was third and six, he'd scramble for seven. If it was third and four, he'd get five. Trey said some of that to him. Danny also was incredibly accurate. I think he ended up being like the Big Ten single-season leader in accuracy. He was over 70%. You know, he didn't want to throw the ball away. He wanted to keep that number high. He didn't take a ton of chances, but very accurate, very smart player. And Trace is obviously spectacular. I mean, such a good college quarterback. You know, I don't care if he doesn't play a minute in the NFL. He will go down as probably one of the best quarterbacks in Penn State history, if not league history. You know, he's gutty. You can just see he's got a great feel for the position, and he's fun to watch. And then Saquon, you know, I got to know him and his family a little bit last year because he was our Silver Football winner. I remember sitting down with his mom and dad in Indianapolis and getting to know them and their story about, you know, moving from the Bronx. And then, you know, I don't have to tell you, he's just such a delightful, humble kid. He could be totally cocky, and he's not. So I like how Fitz put it. I mean, he's one of the best he's ever seen on film. Obviously, one of the best in Big Ten history, and hopefully he'll be, you know, top three, top five in the draft.
guy I've really liked since he's been there. We were talking about Dan Persa. He's a different kind of quarterback, but Clayton Thorson. Pros and cons as you view Clayton Thorson, Teddy.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely on the NFL's radar because Mel Kiper, you know, put him fifth among underclassmen. He's got very, very good size. He has good arm strength. He's very intelligent. He's a hard worker. He's a good leader. All that's good, but, you know, he's missing some of what Trace has, which is just a feel for the position, you know, avoiding pressure, knowing when to throw it away. He got sacked eight times last week, eight times at Wisconsin. And, you know, that's on everybody. That's on receivers not getting open. That's on the O-line not doing a very good job. That's probably on some of the play calling. But it's also on Clayton. He's just holding the ball way too long, and he can't have that, you know. So he has to just be a little smarter and have a little more savvy going into these plays, and, you know, and having that that clock kind of wind down in his head.
Jack Hamm and I were talking this morning, and both of us were talking about a couple of players on that Northwestern defense we really like when we look at them on tape. When you look at them, what do you see in the Northwestern defense?
Well, Patty Fisher is a linebacker who started this year, and Pat Fitzgerald, who knows a little bit about linebacking plays, says, you know, he's been kind of the revelation. He's been outstanding, big hitter, had some big plays against Wisconsin. And then the one you always got to think about is Godwin Igwebuike, who's number 16. He had a pick last week of Alex Hornibrook, and he's, you know, been around forever, potential maybe second-round pick in the NFL draft, smart, strong, physical, everything you'd want in a safety. The problem with Northwestern is they just don't get pressure. They really don't get much pressure unless right. They blitz. And then they're susceptible. So they don't have really an athletic defensive end who's going to be, you know, harassing Trace much on Saturday.
I was kidding with Jack this morning. He said, Godwin Igwebuike may not make a lot of tackles on the broadcast. No, but I'll work it out between now and then.
It's hard to say the name. I know. I mean, I've been saying it for 4 years, and I still stumble.
I mean, Amani Oyewariye, I've got that one down. I mean, you should see the look of the other guys when I tell him he's available to play.
Oh, God. Last year, Northwestern had a kid, well, not last year, several years, Efadi Odenebo. And, like,
one of those
names. Yeah, at first, you struggle, and now it's just Efadi Odenebo, and it's so easy. But right. Godwin's last name, man, it still gets me tired.
I know. I mean, now, Odenebo, he was a good rusher off the edge, so you had to somehow get him in there.
Totally.
Because he's got to get a sack.
Yeah, right. He got his name called because he had certain games. He had, like, some 3-sack games, and they miss him. You know, they had Dean Lowry, they had Deontay Gibson, and they had Efadi in the last several years. And that's what they lack now. They have a guy named Joe Gaziano, who's pretty good. Joe Gaz, they call him. And they got a freshman, Sam Dup Miller, but you can just call him Sam Miller. And those guys showed a little pressure last week in Camp Randall. But, you know, they need a lot more to make an impact.
Is there any thought through five games of what we're seeing in the Big Ten, or do you want to see this bake a little more for three more weeks?
In terms of what?
Just seeing who's really actually good and who might be just a pretender.
Well, I mean, in the West, I've already declared that Wisconsin has won the Big Ten West, which Nebraska fans are thrilled with me for. But, you know, you look at the West and it's like, okay, Nebraska's a pretend 2-0 because of having beaten Rutgers in Illinois. Right. Iowa has already lost two games, and the Iowa-Wisconsin game is at Camp Randall. Northwestern has lost to Wisconsin, so it's like Northwestern's a game and a half behind. You know, Minnesota has lost a game to the East in Maryland. Purdue has lost a game to the East in Michigan. So I don't possibly see anybody challenging Wisconsin, but in the East, absolutely. I mean, you know, three and a half teams are at play. I mean, if Michigan State is somehow better than we think. But I'm unbelievably excited for that rotation of games involving Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State.
I've got to ask you about the Adidas deal because you know college basketball as well as anybody I've met along the way. People have said to me when they heard me talk about it last week, you didn't sound surprised, so I know you're not
right.
Surprised by all
no.
This. What did strike me was that the efficiency with which they got to the various layers of this. What did you think of the layers that they got to in this, from agents to shoe company to player to assistant coach?
Yeah, you know, when you're the FBI, man, it's probably a lot of fun. Everybody's so scared of you. You know, I mean, the NCAA comes and they're probably like, eh, don't even bother returning this call. They can't do anything to me. You know, sports writers call, eh, they got nothing. But when it's the FBI and you're looking at prison time, if you don't start squawking, then, you know, then it's just going to be fascinating to see how much is revealed. And, you know, to me, there's certain schools we've always known have cheated, and then there's certain ones that you just are not sure. I mean, has anything gone on at Duke? Has anything gone on at Michigan State? I mean, those are programs that get elite players. They're also programs that sometimes miss on elite players, especially in Michigan State's case, and you've always wondered why. So it will be fascinating to see how it unfolds and if it'll stop the cheating for at least a little while.
What's it going to be like for Northwestern this year, having to play out in Rosemont and also practicing? What's going to be, you know, because Chris Collins has done a great job, but what's this scenario going to be like for them?
Yeah, good question. And, you know, we were talking about this yesterday. They had Northwestern Basketball Media Day. The practice situation is really good because they're actually moving where it's more convenient to campus. It's, you know, it's a gym that is usually more for hosting intramurals, so it's certainly not that big or fancy, but it's closer to where the players are, like their apartments and classes, so they like that. But the games will be different. I mean, not only the fact that it's a good 35 to 45-minute drive from campus, depending on traffic, but it's a huge gym. It's, you know, 17,500 capacity, so maybe they'll rope some areas off. So, you know, Northwestern's going to have a great start and, you know, try some way to get the students out there, bribe them with food or, you know, however you can do it. And then, just try to fill it up as much as possible because, you know, DePaul has been playing there for years and they get crowds of like 3,500, total ghost town. So if the Cats are doing here's what helps Northwestern. They have a lot of fans, I think, that are not that close to the North Shore, that they live closer to O'Hare, and they're like, all right, this is going to be convenient for us this year. Will there be enough to get 10, 12,000 people there for games? That's probably asking a lot.
And media day is going to be a couple of weeks, but it's going to be at Madison Square Garden, which means, you know, which goes with the tournament. They're compressing the schedule this year, including that December weekend. What are your thoughts on the December weekend and also the compression of the schedule?
Yeah, I mean, Steve, here's the thing with New York. I'm from Manhattan, so anybody, when people email me and they're like, isn't this horrible, isn't this awful, I say, look, I think it's great. But I'm totally biased. Any excuse for me to get a trip home is a good thing, and I talked my way into, you know, getting out there for both Big Ten and Big East media days in a couple weeks. So, you know, that said, the fact that they had to move the tournament up a week and that alters the whole schedule, I would just say that, you know, Jim Delaney and those guys better hope there's not some, you know, rash of injuries this year because of the compressed schedule. I certainly have no problem with starting Big Ten play earlier in the season. I mean, in fact, it works out great for me. I mean, I'll be at that Big Ten football championship game in Indy, and then it's Northwestern at Purdue the next day. So it's literally on the way home. So again, you know, I think a lot of us look at these things and they say, how does it affect me? And in this case, it's good. And I love watching basketball at Madison Square Garden. I mean, obviously Penn State's played there, and Northwestern had a tournament there a couple years ago. So it'll be weird, but I think it'll ultimately be a great time.
Yeah, for guys like you and me, the Garden special. I mean, it really is. And I hope that there are teams in the Big Ten that understand that when they get to it. But I also think when they go to the possibility of 20 games, I think that opening weekend in December is going to stay because I think they feel it will help grow the game. What do you think?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, in the same way that you should be having conference football games that first week. I mean, I went to Ohio State, Indiana on that Thursday night. You know, if Indiana had been playing Charleston Southern, needless to say, I would not have been in Bloomington that night. So, you know, you want to put your good product forward. I mean, it's not like they have to have five Big Ten games that first weekend, but have one. You know, try to have one intriguing game in all these weekends. And the same goes for basketball because, you know, I mean, the vast majority of sports fans, like, just pay so little attention to college basketball until January or even February. So have some great games. I mean, Northwestern not only plays at Purdue, but a couple days earlier hosts Illinois on that Friday night. So I think that's great for the sport.
want to ask you about the young people. You mentioned, you know, bribing them with food to go out to Rosemont. That aside, but I want to pick up on that. Is how do you view millennials as to how they view sports now, Teddy? It's one thing for you and me to sit here with our backgrounds and we say, you know, we've got this memory and that's why we're attached to it. What's the attachment? How can they get millennials in any sport really interested in the sport beyond playing fantasy NFL and fantasy baseball?
My God, two old guys talking about what it's like to be in our 20s. We're probably not exactly qualified. I mean, I know this, man. I was at, you know, Northwestern Wisconsin on Saturday, and it was basically not until the second quarter that the student section was filled up. And then that's Wisconsin goes up 31-10, and midway through the fourth, Northwestern's rallying, and half of them are gone. I think it's just tough, man. There's so much you're competing with now. Even if you have good Wi-Fi in the stadium, and I don't know if Wisconsin does, it's just, you know, people in their 20s, it's so much multitasking. I mean, they want to be in touch with each other. You know, Instagram, Snapchat, everything is such, it's so important in their lives. They can't think of just sitting there and watching a football game and talking to each other during all those commercial breaks. So I don't think that's going to change. I mean, I'd like to see, you know, if you can shorten the games a little bit, if you can entertain well, if you can have good Wi-Fi in the stadium, incentivize people to come, because it's also not just millennials. I mean, people in general, like Notre Dame is in danger of losing its home sellout streak this year. Nebraska football, different places. Like, it, you know, the TVs are so good and people love being at home. It's hard to get people to get the games. So I think it's exacerbated with young folks, but it's everybody.
An absolute pleasure, Teddy. I look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Can't wait, Steve. Have a good trip in. Take care.
Appreciate it. Teddy Greenstein, he is one of the best. I mean, one of the best of the best from the Chicago Tribune. And you see him often on BTN. He's just a pro's pro. Brad Nessler, next half hour, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
We go from one of the best in the business in print, Teddy Greenstein, to one of the best in business in broadcasting, and that's Brad Nessler. How many times have I said in this show, Sean, that once you meet and talk with Brad Nessler, he's one of those guys that where if you don't like Brad Nessler as a person, you don't like people. It's as simple as that. And we'll have him on in the next half hour. He's had that running joke that you're going from Uncle Vern to Cousin Ness. So we'll talk to him. Because it's the second go-around for he and Gary Danielson together. And it's almost as if they were never apart, even though it's been over 17 years. Because they were together for years on ESPN.
Ness is always a great listen, and also had that quick stint when NFL Network started to televise the Thursday night games several years ago.
Right. He did, and he's been great at everything he's ever done. Always has. Along the way, college basketball, really good. He knows how to make the signature call at just the right moment, finds the right words, the right tone, and we'll have him on in the next half hour. The Yankees and Twins play tonight. And it'll be at Yankee Stadium this evening. The oddity of this is the road team has been able to win 7 of the 10 games in this 5-year stint so far. So being at home has not meant as much as people believe.
And for Major League Baseball, which is in a ratings fight, losing the Yankees tonight is not exactly what they want. And I think Roger made a really good point about that earlier. I agree with him. Losing, you don't... Just like you didn't want to lose the Cubs a couple of years ago when they had that one-game playoff with the Pirates, and then Schwarber hit the home run early and they won the game. Now, certain teams mean ratings. Well, the Cubs mean ratings. The Yankees mean ratings. The Red Sox mean ratings. The Dodgers mean ratings. So, we will find out tonight when the Yankees and the Twins square off. The Twins, to their credit, go from 100 losses last year to 85 wins this year and make the playoffs. That's remarkable. They deserve a lot of credit for that. We'll have a Name the Twin contest coming up in the final half. No, just kidding. After Joe Mauer, how many of you struggle?
That's the first name I thought of.
So. Yeah.
Armin Killebrew. Oh, wait, wrong. That's right, he's a Brewer.
Wrong era.
Sorry.
Wrong era. Don Mincher, Frank Quillacy, Armin Killebrew.
Rod Carew.
Bobby Allison, Rod Carew. It's like let's see, Earl Batty, Jim Cott, Dean Chance. Some of the all-time great Twins. So that's coming up tonight, and then tomorrow it's Colorado and Arizona. And that'll be at Chase Field in Phoenix. But tonight's the Yankees and the Twins. And tonight's game's on ESPN, which will be probably, I guess it's got to be Dan Shulman's swan song as the play-by-play voice of baseball on ESPN. Voluntarily, he's stepping aside. And, All right, next half hour, Brad Nessler of CBS. Be a pleasure to have him on the show. Looking forward to it very much. By the way, Dana O'Neill coming up later in the week. We'll talk about the college basketball scandal with her. She's done a lot of work and research on it. But then again, Dana is an absolute pro's pro. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Very touching moment earlier today when Deb, of course, had a little bit of surgery and there was an outpouring. The only one that decided to make it about himself was, you guessed it. Go ahead, tell him, Sean.
The suit.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.